wake up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you could be with us, SB Nation Radio, on a Thursday. Yes, it's Throwback Thursday. Glad you again. Thank you to be with us. We got football tonight, the Atlanta Falcons and the Denver Broncos. Tom Brady speaking yesterday at Patriots camp said, quote, "Football, I love the sport. I love playing it since I was a kid. It's hard for me to imagine doing anything else in life. I love playing ball. To be out here at 41, soon to be 42, it's pretty great thing for me." And you know what? You may hate Tom Brady and you may hate the Patriots, but that is a fantastic quote. I love that quote. At 41, at 42, he still is out there playing football. More and more, we are seeing players wanting to get out of the business as healthy as they possibly can. And that often means just cutting it shorter than they probably would want, but they know it's a smart move to make. You're about 33, you're about 34, you've got some money in the bank, maybe you've invested well and you know you'll be taken care of. Maybe there's a broadcasting job outside of football and you'll still be able to stay in the game. But the hits and all of the pain and agony that can come with those Mondays after Sundays have driven a lot of people away from the game earlier than they probably wanted to. This is one of those rare athletes that you just are going to have to drag off the field. There is going to be a day where he knows he's not going to be able to do it anymore. But at 42 years old, he's looking at his life saying, not yet. It's coming, but not yet. And I think that's great. Look, I'm lucky enough, many of you are lucky enough to do jobs that you kind of been training for, right? You went to college for, you got a career in, and you've watched yourself grow in that job. Maybe you struggled in your 20s learning the ropes. Your 30s, it started kicking in, and you started getting promoted. You started getting really good at your job. Maybe in your 40s, you really became an expert. You became one of the leaders in the company, et cetera, et cetera. You've really gotten the experience to do what it is you do. It just keeps accelerating, and sports is the one entity where there's a cutoff date where age plays a factor. If you're an actor, you can play older roles. You can do other things with your age. You can stay in the game, but you can't stay in the game in sports. So as much as we give Tom Brady grief, the fact that he wins all the time and you can hate him for all of the things that you hate him for, at least like him for this. He still loves to play football.
Television used to be called the vast wasteland. That was before music television, MTV.
Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh, thanks for joining us, celebrating MTV's birthday today on this date in 1981. MTV launched. This is our Throwback Thursday, The Who. Man, they used The Who in the opening night. Opening night?
You better, you bet.
They got a video from The Who. That's pretty good. I'm bad, MTV. Well played. I don't know if they've written up, I'm sure they have. I'm sure there's a book about the ups and downs of MTV and the rise and fall and some of the things that went on. The craziness.
When are they going to make that film?
Yeah, the movie? Right? That would be great.
We've got to see that, right?
That would be great.
They're doing all these music biopics now, whether it's Bohemian Rhapsody or Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
The birth of MTV. That'd be
exactly. That
fantastic.
Would be great. Who's your favorite VJ when you were a kid?
I had a big crush on Martha Quinn.
I did too. I like Martha Quinn a lot.
Sorry. For that one.
Do you know who I was like crazy for? She wasn't a VJ.
Tabitha Soren?
Yes! I love Tabitha Soren. Because I have a thing for redheads. I married one. So, I mean... But I love redheads. I've loved them since I was a kid. I don't know what it is about redheads, but I love redheads. And Tabitha Soren was just gorgeous. I thought she was gorgeous and smart, and I loved her. So I was crazy about her.
But I like Nina Blackwood too. Nina Blackwood looked like she would have a good time, right? She could go to a place and have a really good time.
Why, what do you mean?
I know. Good old MTV.
Now, you know what Tabitha Soren is now? She's a photographer.
Please tell me what Tabitha Soren is up to these days.
She's a fine art photographer.
I haven't Googled her, so is...
I just did that now.
She's got to be 45 years old now.
51.
Is she really?
Yep.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I don't even want to know what she looks like now. Does she keep herself looking good?
Yeah, you know what? Yes.
I thought she was really cute.
Yes. No, okay. I mean, it's good. For 51 years old, go ahead and Google her.
I will. I am. I am going to.
Obviously, you know, when you Google and you see images, there's some unflattering photos. But then you see some of the other ones. You're like, you know what? You really kept yourself together. Good look, on you.
There's a point in life that the clock just goes, look, I'm done. I can only, like, we all can't be Christie Brinkley, okay? Like, we can't be 65 and still look like we could be in the magazine.
There's this photo going around of Elizabeth Hurley. And it literally says, this could be your 17-year-old sister.
Really?
And I'm looking at it, I'm like, damn, she could be my sister. Wow! I don't have a 17-year-old sister, but there's no way that this is, you know, right. Because, I mean, I think she's in her 50s.
Yeah. God. Yeah, she definitely is in her 50s. Wow.
But, yeah, this photo is just ridiculous. I don't know how, like, her or Christie Brinkley, how they're doing it.
I don't either. Witchcraft. That's the only thing I can think about. Witchcraft.
No, but, yeah, looking at Tabitha Soren, you know, is that a picture with her with Tommy Lee?
Tommy Lee? Please tell me no. Please tell me it's not Tommy Lee.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an old photo.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, this is back in the day, though.
Right, that's true. That's
back
true.
When she was young and didn't know any better.
That was her job, to hang out with rock stars. What a gig. On Twitter, Michael says, living in Atlanta, there'll be a running back or tight end no one's ever heard of. He'll have a great game tonight, and the local talk radio will project about his future that he's a Hall of Famer. That's true. That's going to happen tonight.
Is Michael going Falcon fan on us?
Yeah, don't go Falcon fan on us, Michael.
We
need you to put us in line when we make silly statements about the Patriots all season.
Yeah, you know what? And that's what I really need to know from him. How did he feel about 28-3? Was he conflicted?
Yeah, yeah, right. That's a good point.
Did Michael have issues, you know, showing up to work, like, you know, trying to hide that smile?
Yeah, like all the people in his office were just like depressed and didn't want to. And he was like, "Oh, well, you know, what are you going to do?"
They were ready to jump off the bridge. And he's sitting there going, yeah, that was very terrible.
You know, yeah, awful.
I'm a Falcon fan in Foxborough clothing, I guess.
Exactly. Exactly. But let me ask this question. If there were no preseason games in the NFL, would it be good for the league or bad for the league?
I think, you know what? I think you need two.
Let's say there was zero college football.
No, I mean, if
they went, you know, we're doing college football. We're like, when you get the Thursday night game, that's the first time you'll see these teams doing anything at all.
See, I think it would be bad for the league because there's a certain amount of rust that you do need to shake off, and we don't want to see rusty play. We're going to see rusty play anyways in that first week. I mean, the way they play that first week is vastly different than the way they play in week 13, 14, 15.
And let me just make this point about college football, because I know that the opening games have gotten a lot better, and I know that there are some really good games. So I'm not throwing the broad brush here. I know that some, like, Florida's playing Miami, and that could be a really, really good game. And there's going to be some other ones. But, however, when you do look at some of the matchups, some of these games are preseason-like for some of the top teams in college football.
Definitely.
All right? So I'm not going to pretend like everybody's playing a real right-out-of-the-gate awesome team. Some of these teams don't play anybody awesome. They warm up. I mean, Georgia's got an SEC slate against Vanderbilt. My God.
Like, I mean, okay, Alabama's first two games, they opened the season at the end of August against Duke.
Yep.
So, I mean, Duke has had teams.
Duke has had moments.
Right.
Yep. Duke, they've had moments.
Second game of the season, New Mexico State.
Yeah, see? So it'd be like a preseason
game. And then
game.
They scheduled this other cupcake for the third game of the season, South Carolina.
You make me laugh, Ron.
See what
Kelleher.
I did there?
See what you did?
See what I did?
Yeah, like the Auburn Tigers. They're playing Oregon and Arlington. That's a great way to start the season.
That is.
Right? So I'm going to give you guys props. But sometimes teams, the ACC, they're jumping right into conference play. Like Clemson's playing Georgia Tech. Now, I don't think Clemson's going to have problems with Georgia Tech, but that's a new Georgia Tech team with a new coach.
In fact, looking at their schedule,
wrinkle.
Their cupcake game, if we will, is the fourth game of the year.
Auburn? Or Clemson.
Clemson.
Who are they playing?
Well, they start off against Georgia Tech. Then they play Texas A&M.
Well, yeah.
Then they go to Syracuse.
That's a tough place to play. And Syracuse is good.
And then their fourth game, I think, is finally their cupcake. It's against Charlotte.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
They're starting off strong. I mean, God, if you can get 3-0 out of the first three games, then they're not playing anybody for a while.
Texas is playing Louisiana Tech to open up the season.
That's what we're talking about. For them, I mean, that is kind of like a preseason. Texas is shaking the rust off.
And in the NFL, every game's important. You don't get to work your way through your first couple of games like, oh, okay, I gotcha.
Us guys will say the Dolphins will be a cupcake this year or the Cardinals will be a cupcake this year, but there's no guarantee. They're still professional players. They still have the best of the best out of the, came out of college playing for them.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Michael did respond on Twitter. He said, the Falcons are my favorite team when the Patriots are bad. Okay, well, that's good. And then he said,
they haven't been your favorite team for two
not
decades.
Not all the time, right? Says, my brothers-in-law and his brother didn't talk to me for a month after the 28-3 game. Yeah, that comes with the territory, man.
Yeah.
that's you're expecting a little bit of that.
So for 20 years, he's been a Patriot fan. By that rationale, he said, the Falcons are my favorite team when the Patriots aren't good. So it's been 20 years.
I remember. I covered the Patriots when the Patriots weren't good. I remember those. I remember those years.
Had more hair.
Yeah,
smaller waistline way back
bad
then.
Bad teams. But Bill Parcells tried to. I mean, Bill Parcells got him to a Super Bowl, man. That was unbelievable. Because when Bill Parcells arrived, they had the number one pick in the draft. They go in with Drew Bledsoe. And a couple of years, he got him into the Super Bowl. Against the Green Bay Packers. But that was a very interesting ending because he didn't go with the team plane like on the way. He was negotiating with the Jets while the team was preparing for the Super Bowl. So you kind of have that. But, oh God, since Belichick and Brady, this has been remarkable. I did like that quote. I said that earlier. I like the fact that Brady just is like, you're going to have to drag me off this thing. And I like that because, again, he has not taken the kind of abuse under center as some other quarterbacks have had over the years. But nevertheless, it's amazing to me a guy at 42 years old is still like, nah, I'm into this. I'm still going to do this. Because there are guys who are like, get out of this thing healthy. Listen, one of the saddest things I can remember going to, when I was in Las Vegas, they sent me to this golf tournament to get some interviews. It was like a celebrity tournament. I saw a lot of football players that had a hard time getting in and out of golf carts. You see these guys in the retirement years, and they're really aching. They're really hurting. And in a lot of young players who have gotten wind of this sort of like looking ahead, like, hey, I'm in my 30s now. I'm not 21. I don't feel invincible anymore. I'm looking ahead, and I'm seeing myself at 40, at 50 years old, and I don't want to have a cane. I don't want to take pills to get up in the morning. I don't want to have problems where my wife is like, make sure we sit down and let's elevate your feet. And I don't want that. I want to get out of here healthy, and I want to still have a very good quality of life. Now, I think Brady has seen him, sees it the way he keeps himself healthy and the way he keeps himself fit, that he can still have that quality of life. But he's 42. He's going to be 42 years old. And you still can't get him off a football field. He has not gotten tired of this. He has not gotten to a point where he's done it all. So he's seen it all and it's time to move on. He still is just constantly like, look, they're going to take this away from me, and then I'm never going to get to do this again. Remember when Brett Favre was doing this, when he would retire, unretire? And I remember people were mad, and I'm like, why are you mad? Imagine if you were in your late 30s, and somebody told you the thing you loved doing the most you couldn't do anymore, ever again. How much would you cling to that? How much would you cling to doing it one more time before it was taken away from you forever? And it doesn't even have to be a job. It can be anything. Like, imagine if you were a painter and you loved painting. That was the thing that got you. You got up in the morning and you just wanted to paint. And you go, and that was your hobby. And then somebody took the easel and the paint and the brushes away and said, that's it. You can't paint anymore. You can't even do it as a hobby. You can't even do it on the side because there's no other way to do this. You're too old and nobody wants you to paint anymore. How quickly would you cling on to any opportunity that you could still do it? Right? That's athletics. That's sports. These guys have done nothing their whole life more intensely than training to be a professional athlete. And that ending comes so quick, and then it gets taken away, and you don't get to do that anymore. Oh, sure, you can be a general manager. You could be a broadcaster. You can be a coach. There's so many other ways to stay in the game, but you're not playing again. You're not going to be under center again.
And that's
you're not
going to be, you know. At these retirement, like, you know, anytime you see a player retire, that's why they're crying.
That's why they're crying. It's done.
It's not that they're going to miss the game itself. It's the camaraderie that they're going to miss. They know that they're not going to be in a locker room anymore. They know they're not going to get, you know, sit there with, you know, 20 or 60 other warriors about to take the field all for a common cause.
Exactly.
And, you know, they're missing that.
And then it's never going to come back. Never. It's never going to be there for them. Right? NBA guys, Major League Baseball, Derek Jeter is never again in his life going to come up to the plate at Yankee Stadium in a tie ball game with a runner on second with two outs facing a pitcher and analyzing that pitcher and analyzing what he throws. What's his best pitch? How has he pitched me before? What can I expect from this with an 0-2 count or a 1-2 count? Like, he's never, ever, ever going to do that again. Peyton Manning, the same thing. He's never going to look at a defense and going, oh, they're in cover two, but they're disguising it. And I think I can get Brandon Stokley open for a 5-yard cut and hit him for a first down. He's never going to get to do that again. And so I don't blame these guys at all. And that's why it's refreshing when I see Brady, for all of his faults, for all of everything, I like the fact that he's making this kind of statement. You know, I don't know what my life would be like without it. So I give him a lot of credit. All right, 800-224-2004. It's SB Nation AM on a Throwback Thursday, SB Nation Radio.
Tonight's the night we'll make history. As sure as dogs can fly. And I'll take any risk to tie back the hands of time.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Throwback Thursday, celebrating the birth of MTV on this date in 1981. Is this REO Speedwagon?
No.
Okay, is this Styx?
Yes.
Okay. I just was not old enough to differentiate with these kind of groups.
Yep.
So good for MTV to get this band on in their first episode.
Well, I just like the beginning.
Just clarifying, we're doing their first night on the air, right?
Yes.
We're doing songs that they aired the first night.
These are the first set of videos that were shown.
I bet if you were one of those viewers at midnight that watched MTV launch, I bet you saw Dead Air. Then you saw a whole bunch of problems.
Yeah,
while they were working
it out.
You're
probably right.
They're like, oh gosh. They got running tape, maybe tape getting caught or something like that. Maybe one of the VJs turned to the wrong camera, didn't know what he was looking at.
Some
I'm sure
intern,
there was a lot
well,
of
actually not an intern, some PA just losing his mind,
right,
over something,
right in the background. Meanwhile, what
totally
are we doing?
Out of order. We're not supposed to do this.
Here's the Who. Wait a minute, we didn't play the Who. What are you doing? Play the right music.
I think the wrong graphic popped up. They did. They made your mistake.
Stands this for music, television.
Why do we have REO Speedwagon on a Styx song?
That's right. Exactly. Made the same mistake I made. I want to get back to this trade deadline situation. Zach Greinke going to the Astros. All right. And I want to go back to the Yankees. And I don't want to be Yankee-centric here. But
everyone loves a good Yankee-hating moment.
Right. Everybody likes a good Yankee-hating moment. The Yankees are an organization that is so different from a lot of other organizations in sports. Forget just baseball and sports. Their fan base is constantly, constantly, constantly wanting the Yankees to win championships. And there is no such thing as we are in this long haul game plan process mode. Trust what we're doing. We've built our farm system up so great. The wins are going to come. The champions are going to come, and they're probably going to come in bunches, but we are not going to do something now. We're going to do this later. You're going to be so happy when these young guys become Yankees and get in pinstripes. The Yankees can't play that game. Brian Cashman cannot play that game. Now, I don't know if this is the kind of the ghost of George Steinbrenner still hovering around the organization when that was George's MO, right? Win today. I don't care about tomorrow. Spend today. Win today. But I also think it's the fan base becoming that spoiled. They're reacting incredibly angry to the fact that the Yankees didn't do anything. And Brian Cashman is trying to defend this by saying, I didn't want to give up some of the power players in our farm system. The guys we really went out of our way to get an arm that may or may not help us win right now. That's a reaction the Yankees have to having all the success that they have. It's the exact opposite in Houston. I mean, there was a time not that long ago where the Astros lost 111 games, but they had this plan. They had this process, and you had to wait it out because they had to grow some talent. They had to build the team. They had to start from scratch. Remember, when they won the 2017 World Series, a few years before that, they were putting together such an amazing young farm system, right? That Sports Illustrated predicted that they would win the 2017 World Series. That's a famous cover.
And during that time, they were terrible.
And your
grandfather was rolling over in his grave like, these aren't my Yankees.
That's right, right? And so the Astros... But people who knew baseball knew what the Astros were doing, right? They said, look, the Astros are building something. They're building up something so good that in a couple of years, they're going to win the World Series. Trust us on this. This is that good. The Yankees can't do that. The Yankees can't do that. The Yankees don't have the fan base that can sit back and go, you know what? It is okay that we're doing really well in these categories. But our prospects, the guys we don't see, the guys we're not necessarily paying attention to, we trust Brian Cashman and the Yankee organization that when those baby Yanks come up and become real Yankees, that they're going to thrill us for years and years and years. They don't have the Yankees organization doesn't have that luxury. You can do that with a lot of other teams. You can do that with Houston, for example. You can do that in other places. You can say, hey, you know what? Trust us. This is going to work. This is what we're going to do. The Yankees need pitching, and they need pitching badly. And Yankee fans are waking up to, well, they didn't really wake up because this news broke yesterday, but they realize that the best team in the American League got very good. I mean, even better than they were. So Yankee fans went from, you know, when we get to the playoffs, the Astros are really going to be a tough team to beat in the postseason, to the Astros are going to be an impossible team to beat in the postseason. And they got the guy we should have gotten. Right? That's why they're mad. They're mad because the old days, for example, were, oh, the Red Sox are after a guy. We're going to go after that guy too, even if we may not need him, because we're not going to let the Red Sox get better while we go stagnant. And now the Astros are getting better and the Yankees go stagnant. When everybody knows this Yankee lineup is capable of winning World Series, but the pitching is nowhere near capable of winning the World Series. And that's the thing with Houston. This is why they're going to win the World Series, because their lineup is capable of winning a World Series, and now their pitching is more than capable of winning a World Series. And when you put those two things together, I can't see anybody, and this includes the Dodgers, who I think are as good as any team out there. You could make the argument that they might be the best team in baseball, but right now the circumstances are 7 games, you've got to win 4, and how are you going to do it facing Verlander, Cole, and Greinke, and twice if you're trying to extend a series? You can't. You're not going to. And like I said, let's say you get to Verlander on a bad night. He can't hit his spots, and you tag him. You're not going to get Garrett Cole. You're not going to get Zach Greinke. I mean, seriously. And that's one of the reasons why Yankee fans are angry, because you can convince us. You can convince us that the talent is so great in the farm system that down the road they're going to produce world championships. But if you're looking for a world championship today, Houston went out and just grabbed one. SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Thursday, on a football Thursday. What's the good?
The good of the day is that these NFL running backs who are holding out, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, Melvin Gordon.
Right.
They shouldn't worry.
Okay.
There's no reason for them to worry because they have someone fighting their fight for them.
Oh, who is this? You may say.
O.J. Simpson.
Oh, what has O.J. got to say? Oh, O.J. on Twitter?
O.J. on Twitter.
Boy, oh boy.
Here you go.
In football, we have two of the best running backs holding out. Ezekiel Elliott down in Dallas and Melvin Gordon with the Los Angeles Chargers. As far as Ezekiel is concerned, hey, look, this guy's outperformed his rookie contract. And Jerry Jones, let's face it, with him, you're a playoff Super Bowl caliber team. Without him, you may not even make the playoffs. Now, I kind of understand the situation with Gordon because he misses games. Plus, they have this guy Eckler and this guy Jackson, some pretty good backups. But Mr. Spanos, when this guy's on the field playing, he's one of the best in the game. I think you could probably do an incentive-based contract or something. I just know this. This is not the kind of guy you could have miss summer training camp, because then I guarantee you he will get hurt. Hey, look, this is what running backs are looking forward to in their future. We have the shortest careers, position careers in the NFL, and we may be limping the rest of our lives. So pay these guys.
Oh, Jay.
Pay them. Pay them now.
Is Juice angling for a show? Is he angling to be
Oh, I think I everything Juice does, there's a motive.
Yeah, is Juice like, everything I think I could be an analyst in one of them studio shows. They get paid good money. I think I should do that. My first thought was, Juice, how much football did you watch while you were in prison? Are you up to speed on any of this? Do you have any idea who these guys are? Like, I know you've been out for a while, but I mean, you've spent 9 years in prison. Did you get to watch any?
I know.
Did you read the magazines that came in? Oh, goodness. Probably zero.
I would imagine zero would be the around the right number. I know, you know what? He probably caught a game or two. I would have to.
He probably watched. Gave him some entertainment
on a Sunday in cell block, whatever. That, you know, on the one TV, you know, that small little tiny TV that they always have up in the high
right,
corner.
In the high corner, right?
They probably had an NFL on. I can't believe that it was Martha Stewart all the time.
Yeah, somebody yelling, "Put on Hee Haw!"
Exactly.
Well, they don't have Hee Haw anymore. Oh, okay. Well, watch whatever you want then. But I mean, seriously, like, he's like, I saw him on Twitter. He was commenting on the debate last night, the Democratic debate last night.
Yes.
And he pans to this gigantic television. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. He gets that pension and the Goldmans can't touch it.
He still gets money.
He still gets money. That's right. He's not living poor. That's right. Totally kind of forgot about that. All right.
But you got to love Juice. You got to love Juice. Yeah. I don't care what it is. You got to love Juice.
In the way we love a guy who got away with a double murder, you got to love Juice.
Hey, I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
I know, right?
I can't that's believe, pretty much I it. Mean, we sit here and we talk about the Juice and not the fact that he didn't get the death penalty or is rotting away in some prison. He is out, you know, being able to be on Twitter and commenting on running backs and the Democratic debate last night.
I got a question. Do you think O.J. Simpson, if he was like, if we contacted him, would he come on to talk football? Would he be scared that we would ambush him about the murder so he's not doing those kind of things?
You know what? I think, honestly, I think he's probably done, had so many people who tried to do that.
Right.
And he has developed a character. In a way that is so charismatic that he can just deflect anything.
Yeah, that's probably true. He did do plenty of interviews after before he went to jail.
Yep.
He was on like morning shows and stuff like that. So maybe he would still do. I remember once when I was in Colorado, there was a politician that There was some controversy around the politician, and we wanted to get him on because he was a big CSU fan, and they were playing Colorado, and we thought it would be really cool if he was on with another politician that was from CU, and we kind of did this thing where they would go back and forth, and they were like, you can't ask about this, and we were like, we have no interest in that. That's not our thing. We don't care about money ciphering to other whatever it is you guys did wrong.
Right.
We don't care. We want this is a sports show. We want a sports oriented. We will not hijack it for politics. But they were so nervous that we would, but we didn't, and it ended up being a pretty good bit. But I wonder if OJ, like, if you said, OJ, you want to give us your thoughts on week one of the NFL season, and you're like, yeah, but no talking about Ron and Nicole, and you're like, yeah, no,
but could you slide it in there saying like, do you think do you think the Patriots are a cut above the rest?
Right, right. You think the Steelers will murder the Browns this weekend? Na 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 na, wackety schmackety doo. Yeah, totally. All right, what is the bad for the day?
The bad is that little thing you just did. What was that? My lord.
A little comedic jingle.
Holy cow, that's we're cutting that one up. the real bad of the day. if we can get past it.
I don't think we can get back.
Maybe we'll just move that to dumb, too. I don't know. That was good, bad, and dumb all rolled into one. No, the bad of the day is that America's favorite O-line coach, Bob Wiley.
Yeah, what happened to him?
He's picked the Browns to finish third in the AFC North.
Why would he do something dumb like that?
Pick
him to finish first.
It's dumb, but it is bad, too. He has no faith in his team?
Come on, man.
And he would have been
first.
That would have been dumb, but somebody else took the cake on that one. We'll get to that in a second. But
all right,
I don't get why Bob Wiley is down on his team. You got the hottest team in the NFL, the one that everyone is most ready to watch, most excited to watch.
I'll watch him every week if I
your
could.
Your neighbor is proud to be a Browns fan for
Can't
once in his life.
It. He's still got that flag flying.
Oh,
this
he's going to fly it all the way through February, down. I believe.
Never take it down.
I don't know about this finishing third business.
Yeah, I don't know. That's come on, man. You got to support. You got to say we're going to finish first, even if you don't really believe it. Just say you're going to. But remember, he was the guy that said no stretching. We won what? We won two world wars without stretching.
Exactly. That's why you love him.
That's why we love him. All right. What is the dumb of the day?
The dumb. I mean, Wiley said something dumb, but. Oh, my God. This one takes the cake.
All right.
How would you assess the backup quarterback competition?
I like these guys. This Nate Peterman, it's not to cut you off. This Nate Peterman is growing on me. He's athletic. I know he's had some nightmare performances in the NFL, but when you watch the film, you can see why. It's not all his fault. But he's got some talent. He's got some athleticism. He has some experience. Here's an opening day starter for the Buffalo Bills last year. I take that very serious, and he's smart. He's done a good job. He's been consistent, and I think he's starting to get his confidence back, and we all need that.
No, he didn't. Please tell me at the end of that clip, he's like, oh, just kidding. That kid sucks.
No, at the end of that clip, he did your thing. Yakety yak or whatever.
Yakety schmackety do. Yeah. No, come on, man. Really? Stop with this. He can't play in the NFL, and you know it. Come on, Gruden quarterback camp.
That's his guy. Oh. Yeah, let him like his guy.
Can I tell you something? If Nathan Peterman can play in the NFL, everybody can play in the NFL. Are you
that's
kidding
right.
me?
I'm suiting up tomorrow.
You're going to try to convince us that all of Peterman's horrible games were not his fault. All of the times he lost, threw picks all the time, couldn't lead the team to any scoring drives, had nothing to do with his talent. He couldn't rise above the ineptitude of his own football team. That's what we're doing? Come on, John. You know better than this.
Apparently not.
Come on. You know what this is? This is spin. They landed Peterman, and now he wants to tell everybody how awesome this kid really is because he doesn't want to admit that they've got a dud on their hand. They're going to end up having to cut, and everyone's going to laugh because they shouldn't have had him in the first place.
I don't think this is was part of the show. I think this was, I'm pretty certain this was an interview, like a training camp interview. But is this maybe he's teasing Hard Knocks?
That might be it. That's a good point.
He's playing
camera. You know what? You might have landed the nail on the head on that one. You might be right. He might have just been saying, hey, you know what will be fun if I played up Nate Peterman for what we're going to do around here to entertain the folks on HBO.
You know, maybe Nate Peterman has a big role in Hard Knocks that we don't know. Not so much a starring role, but, you know, pretty close. You know, he's up for best supporting actor.
Do you remember when we said last year that Nate Peterman was like, he could say, well, at least I got to the NFL, but now it's time to go do something else.
Yeah.
And now Gruden is pumping that dream back into his veins.
It's, you know, false hope.
Like when he was like, honey, I don't think I can do this anymore. Everybody's saying I stink and I don't really have anything to prove them wrong. Every time I go out there, I fail.
And then comes Gruden.
And then here comes Gruden. Like, nah, you know what? It ain't your fault. You were a starting quarterback. There's a lot of starting quarterbacks in this league that we later said, nah, I can't play.
Yeah, but also, he said it perfectly. He's like, yeah, he was a starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills last year. Yes, it's the Bills.
It's the Bills. And he goes, I take that seriously. Really? You do? You sure? So you mean to tell me anybody who ever started for any team ever, you take serious too? Zach Mettenberger, where are you these days? Why don't you go to Oakland? You can find a job, because if you started a game in the National Football League, John Gruden's got to take you seriously.
How many quarterbacks are upset right now?
Their
agent said, hey, you want to play for the Raiders? And they were like, no, not really. I don't really want to go. It's a toxic situation in Oakland / Vegas. We don't really know what's going on with them. But now they know, like Zach Mettenberger knows it. It's like, oh, I should have taken that gig because I could be the starter for the Raiders.
Oh, goodness. There's somebody in every industry, and I don't care what industry you're in. I don't care what company you work for. I think there's always that one person where everybody in the office and the water cooler goes, how is that guy still here? Is he related to somebody, or does he have like pictures of somebody?
That's Peter.
Like, you know what I mean? That's Peterman.
Hey, he got there. He immediately found some dirt on Gruden, and Gruden's like, oh no, man, this is my guy.
Peterman's like,
can't wait to trade him.
Everyone's like, well, you know, his mother-in-law is like Roger Goodell's right-hand person. You know, or something like that, right? Well, Peterman's dad, he actually writes all the checks for the National Football League.
Oh, wait, what? Oh.
You know, he's got a, if they need money, they go to Peterman. His dad just writes all the checks. There's no way this is a reality. Come on. There's no way. There are, in all seriousness now, there are legit guys who can play in this league that cannot find work, that cannot find an opening. They got to wait for injuries in order to start selling their talent. They're not great quarterbacks, but they can play. They know how to read defenses. They can play. They might be a great stopgap measure if your starter goes down for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and you need some guy to step in. And Peterman, those guys are sitting at home on couches, and Peterman's getting all this praise from John Gruden. That's insane. That is insane.
Yeah, so that's the good, the bad, and the insane today.
Yep, that's the good, the bad, and the crazy. All right, it's a Throwback Thursday. It's SB Nation AM.
Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another. You've been messing around. They say you got a boyfriend. You're out there every week.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, celebrating the birth of MTV today on this date in 1981. This is REO Speedwagon.
This is
I knew that song. Didn't REO Speedwagon, they did Riding the Storm Out? Did they do that song?
Did they?
Yeah, I think so. God, I can't keep up with all the bands from my youth. It's like you only remember certain things, and then the others just leave your brain.
You know what I'm always amazed about? Okay, because I found a radio station here that, you know, it's one of those radio stations that plays all the hits of the 80s and 90s and 70s or whatever. You know,
right?
Like one of where there's no DJ talking. It's just song after song after song.
What's the fun in that?
Right. I know. I think it kills the business.
Yeah.
But I'm amazed at some of the songs that I haven't heard in years that I still know the words to.
That's amazing, isn't it? I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm like, I haven't heard that song in 15 years, and yet I can just sing it along.
And yet I'm rocking it. I know exactly. Now, I know some of the songs that you hear is like, okay, well, the verse is kind of predictable, but for the most part, I mean, some of these, I trying to think of a song that I don't hear too often, but I can go and just while it's on, I mean, I'm right there. I got the words down. I'm perfect. It's like I'm back in my youth again when I first heard the song on the radio 30,000 times.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I know exactly what you're talking about.
But, what is that?
I
need a brain. I need a brain guy to call in and go, you know what that is? That is cognitive memory.
That's right. That's right. We are doing the Eagles coming up in the next hour as we preview, again, a team a day as we cruise along. Well, we're doing I shouldn't say a team a day. We're doing a division a week.
Yeah. You know what's funny? You said the Eagles, and I immediately went, we're not playing Eagles.
Wow. That's right. Oh, see, that's how musically oriented the show is today.
Spinning the hits of the Eagles. That's well, maybe right. We are. I don't know.
Now,
did they have one of the first videos on MTV? We'll find out.
Well, we'll find out. Again, on this date, MTV was born on your cable vision.
Cable vision.
Yep. Cable TV. Home of all the reality shows. Road Rules. Remember Road Rules?
Of course.
How fun that was?
Yeah.
Good. What else have they done? What other reality shows have they done?
You know, when we were talking about earlier, well, I'm trying to think. Now they just do those stupid ones like, 16 and pregnant. And
yeah, that's right. They still do. Do they still do the house, the Real World, or is that over?
No, I think they do.
Wow, that's amazing.
Not as good, though.
30 years old.